Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 17th day of April, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is time for a truly free state to be established. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumru and Beth. Callers will be welcome later on in the program. However, we do ask that you keep it short and allow others to participate. And a reminder that we are in the question and answer mode. And also our website is www.pastordan.net. And on that website, you'll find archives of past programs, also information about health, news items, research items, suggested links, etc. Let's see, and I've got a word here, but just for a second, bear with me. I got to. Okay, thank you. It's a very beautiful day here in South Florida. I had windows open, but some noise was coming in, and therefore not able to. I had to close some things up here. So anyway, where was I here? Oh, okay, yeah. Shout out to Jimmy over in Tampa with his audience on Cigar Jimmy, and formerly it was Bank versus UTV. And due to one of our listeners supplying me with a word, new word, I want to share it. I want to get everybody thinking about this word, just like the word Rhadamanthine, which means to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. It should be a common term in our vocabulary today. However, it's not, and of course it's not, because very few people, especially in leadership positions, could you use that adjective for. How many people do you know that Rhadamanthine would properly define them? Certainly nobody that's in a government position or leadership position in the United States or virtually any other country of the world. Certainly none of the white nations. We have not been blessed. We've been infiltrated by the Bolsheviks, and Rhadamanthine sure doesn't apply to them. Now, this new word does apply to these miscreants that have usurped their way into our countries, and that's kakistocracy. And of course, that's a Greek word, or it comes from the Greek language anyway, because kakos means bad or terrible or worse, and ocracy, of course, we get democracy and things such as that. So it's to kakistocracy is defined as this: governance by the worst elements of society who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. The Free Dictionary Online says government by the least qualified or the most unprincipled citizens. And of course, in some of our countries, they're not even really citizens, okay? Ocasio-Cortez, Pelosi, all the rest of them, they're interlopers, they're aliens. Okay, the founding fathers did not bestow citizenship on non-whites. It's just not, they just didn't do it. Now, the historical revisionists want you to think that they were open to all religions and all peoples and thought it would be fair for this and that. No, that's what the Jew media wants you to believe, but that's not the way the founding fathers intended it to be. Only white men, qualified, and I do say qualified white men, were to have positions of power as far as government, to hold public office, to sit in a jury, or even cast a ballot in an election, or cast a ballot to vote on referendums and such things as that. So, and we became a very powerful and great nation under those principles. So as you look around at the utter chaos and total mess that our white nations are in, it's because we violated not only our founding fathers, but we violated the Father in heaven, because his rules were what our original founding fathers set this government up under. The three branches of government, for instance, are specified in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. Okay, so there's your three branches of government. And will it save you? Yeah, if you properly, if we had properly stuck to the three branches of government being proper checks and balances, we wouldn't be in the mess we are now. But it's just been completely taken over and subverted by the enemy, and so it's meaningless anymore. So we have a complete and utter chaotic situation due to our disobedience. Again, we disobeyed our recent ancestors who founded this nation. We've ignored them, and we've ignored our Heavenly Father. So we are in disobedience. I've read that verse. Let me see if I still have it up on my notes. I think it's in Proverbs, where it says that when you are in rebellion, here it is, it's in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30, starting at verse 9. For it is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear Yahweh's law, who tell the seers, don't see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things or righteous things. Tell us pleasant things, sweet things. Prophesy deceit. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. You see, rebellion. But there was another verse that talked about that when you're in rebellion, you will be ruled over by women and children. Okay, and really, that's pretty much where we're at. You look at the faces and the bios, etc., of the different people in Washington who have turned everything upside down, and tell me that's not who it is. Aliens, women, and children. That's who's in Washington. That's who's running most everything today. The very people the Bible and our founding fathers did not want to be in charge. All right. We do also acknowledge Acts chapter 2, verse 17, because I'm hearing from a lot of people on a daily basis that this is coming true. It will be in the last days or the latter days, says Yahweh God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And then the Black Pill YouTube channel sent this one out, and I thought it was pretty good. When non-white men get angry, they might burn a few buildings, such as Black Lives Matter and Black Panthers and things like that. When white men get angry, they burn down empires. So the empire of the Antichrist is going to learn what that phrase is talking about. Same thing with Rudyard Kipling in his poem, The Awakened Saxon. We have to learn to hate, the white man does. He does not come by it naturally. He has to almost be taught how to be vicious, to be angry enough to fight, etc. Because Yahweh created us as the loving, caring, sharing people. The history of the world, the true history, not what edited books that come out of Jewish publishing houses and Jewish control of the National Education Association. And again, all these agencies of government, like the Department of Education, Department of Defense, they ought to all be disbanded. They're no different than the commissars and the commissariats of Soviet Russia under the Bolsheviks. Same thing. control from the top down instead of from the bottom up. Communism. There's a big debate now about what's going on in Venezuela, and they're saying that the Venezuelans are socialists, it's failing, the people are starving, and all kind of utter nonsense. It's fear porn. Okay, they're not starving. Every country has certain elements of its society, including the United States, where certain people aren't doing so well. So if you went around with a camera, you could take the same pictures here in the United States and claim that we have a failing socialist system. The truth of the matter is that Maduro and Chavez set up a national socialist system, very similar to what Germans did in the 1920s and 30s. National socialism, the same thing that the Japanese embraced, the same thing that the fascists of Italy, they called it fascist, but our government in the United States is far more fascist than the Italians were, far more. Okay, and many channels are now discussing the fact that Germany and Italy and Japan during World War II were far less guilty of any kind of serious, heinous crimes than the modern-day nations of the United Kingdom, Canada, United States, Australia, New Zealand. They're all guilty of far more crimes against innocent people than those people even dreamed of being. Okay, even though most of it's a lie, but even if it were true, the so-called 6 million Holocaust and all that, which we know is a lie, even if it were true, these countries have done far, far worse. So, at 9 o'clock, there's been a request put out by one of our listeners in Pennsylvania that we do a call for repentance on the part of we, his children. And it was suggested, again, you do what you feel comfortable with the Father to do, but it was suggested that maybe we could all do it at 9 p.m., and since there's 24 time zones, that means 24 times a day, there would be a group of prayer warriors calling out to our Heavenly Father for repentance and for a jubilee and a restoration of this earth and our people. So today I real quick threw down some thoughts on paper as a short sample. Okay, it doesn't mean you have to follow it word for word. This is not the Catholic Church or the Presbyterian or Lutheran Church or any of that nonsense. This was just to give people an example. Again, it was requested. And so at 9 o'clock, I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's just a short one, just to give people an idea, because believe it or not, a lot of people don't know how to pray. Okay, it may sound silly, but most of them don't. Okay, they think the ritualized world of the Catholic Church and like the Lutheran Church, they think that's praying. That's not praying. The Bible refers to that as vain, repetitious prayer. And nowhere in Scripture does our Heavenly Father say he enjoys hearing vain, repetitious prayers. That's why I say what I wrote down is just an example for folks that need like a kickstart. They need like a jump start, like an engine that won't start, just needs a battery hooked up to it to give it a little extra juice, okay? So this is just an example. It's not meant that you have to follow it letter for letter or even in the right order, because prayer should come from the heart. It's conversation, really, with the Almighty. That's all prayer is. And it doesn't require a certain room to be in. It doesn't require a certain position of your body. Eyes open, eyes closed, hands up, hands down. I mean, you're going through your pineal gland into the spiritual world to communicate with the Father. He already knows what you're going to say anyway. Okay? So just think of it as a discussion with your Creator. How much easier can it be? And is He interested in what you have to say? Absolutely. Or else he wouldn't have established prayer. He is concerned with what you have to say. In fact, he does want to hear from you. The book talks about the fact that we're encouraged to pray often. In fact, when we go to bed at night before our eyes close, we should reach out to our Father and first thing in the morning when they come back open again. He should be the last thing on our mind at night, the first thing on our minds in the morning. How else can you honor him? Okay, so this prayer of repentance is because that's where we're at, folks. In case you haven't noticed, things are not looking too good in this world as far as what the wicked are up to. It's actually mind-boggling just how bad things have gotten. So I wanted to get Mr. John Mark. That's the title of his YouTube channel, John Mark. His website is John Mark Says, S-A-Y-S, JohnMarkSays.com, because he is the sort of like a spokesman for Kurt Doolittle to present propertarianism. And that's where I got this idea that it's time for a free state of Florida or any other place. It doesn't have to be Florida, but since I'm here and I know so many patriots and libertarians are here, why not Florida? Okay. First of all, it's got great weather. A little hot in the summer, okay, but not unbearable, especially if you build right and you go to the right locations, etc. It's not so bad. The other good thing is that if you had to pick one state that had an awful lot going for it to be free and independent, Florida is one of the best, believe it or not. One of the best. Lots of ocean frontage, obviously. It's a peninsula. So we probably have more miles of beachfront as any state anywhere, whether it's saltwater or freshwater. Okay? So he's talking about peaceful separation constantly, fully aware that maybe it won't be peaceful if the enemy doesn't want us to separate. But separating from this cacistocracy that we have in Washington and even in some of the states, such as New York and New Jersey for sure, terrible, terrible, terrible state leadership. Okay? So a time for a free state, not only in the sense of a state of the union, a free and independent state, because all the states were to remain as sovereign. Many people have put stuff out on the internet about that, that the Founding Fathers never intended us to be 50 districts under the federal government in Washington, as if they're the all-powerful and we're just their subjects. That was never the intention. Washington was thrown together just as a common body to take care of things like a post office and a military, which each state would not then be burdened with it, that there was some sort of a central government to handle things such as that. And remember, there was no income tax, there was none of that stuff in the beginning. So there's even a place in the Constitution where the representatives were required to come to Washington at least twice a year, because most of them didn't even want to come once because they weren't getting paid. Okay? They truly were doing it as a civic duty, not to make money, not to gain political power, not to pick up PAC money and lobbyist money and offers of high-paying jobs. No. See, that was never a part of it. It's what it became. And what it became is ugly and corrupt. Again, a cacistocracy. The very worst elements of our society have infiltrated Washington, D.C. It truly is a swamp. And I'm talking about the whole damn thing either. Don't tell me there's good in there. The whole thing is a waste. It's a joke. It's a 100% joke. Bubby says here, USA is daily more and more a Talmudic Zionist state. Absolutely. Everything being expounded in the media today, the mainstream media, and these morons in government, everything is Talmudic from start to finish. 100% satanic, Talmudic, Bolshevik. Okay? So it's in your face. Again, I don't know what is preventing people from waking up, but they need to wake up. So we do need a free state, and we also need to open our minds to other possibilities for forms of government, whether it's a biblical monarchy or a combination monarchy and parliament, whatever. I mean, it's open. Our Constitution even says that when the government fails to provide for us the things it was supposed to, peace, safety, things like that, justice in the courts, make sure everybody's on the same level playing field, etc. When it ceases to provide for those things, it's not only our right, it is our duty to throw that government off and start all over again. Now think about this. Why are we in this position where now we got to talk about sovereign states breaking away from this corrupt system that we have now? Well, because we have no law and order. Okay, now it's a joke when Trump stands up there and says we're a nation of laws, and then he turns around and breaks them. Okay, and I know a lot of people are still on the Trump train, but I'm not one of them. When he does something right, he would have my support, just like when there's good cops, they have all my support. Good soldiers have all my support. If there were such a thing as a good lawyer or a good politician, they would have my support too. But most of them, if not all of them, are liars. And it goes no different for the POTUS and the people in Washington, D.C. right now. Out of one side of their mouth, they're talking about the Constitution, rule of law, and then out of the other side of their mouth, they are working right alongside the bankers and the deep staters, the secret executive service, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So nothing changes, all right? And that doesn't mean that Hillary would have been the better person to put in there. It's the crime is that we're back to where you don't have a choice. Okay, Trump appeared to be one because he was saying the right things in the beginning, but he has fallen way short. So what's wrong in the United States and virtually every other white nation is we no longer have order. We no longer have rules that apply to everybody. Most of the rules are against the white race to keep them subdued. Everybody else gets a slap on the wrist and let go, whereas white people who try to make a difference are put upon. But that's because, again, it's Talmudic, Jewish. The government is run by Jews. Okay, what did the Jews use 2,000 years ago to murder Christ? They used the law and the courts, completely rigged. And they are able to manipulate it. They're very good at it. They know who to bribe. They know who to coerce with sweet words. They know who to blackmail, because that's their specialty. It was their specialty over 2,000 years ago, and it's still their specialty. So instead of murdering Christ, they try to murder the offspring of Christ, which is the church, meaning the body of believers, the saints. Not buildings. These buildings don't matter. Notre Dame, as one commentator pointed out today, Notre Dame hasn't taught the truth of Christ in so long that to say that it represents Christianity is a joke. Okay? It's just like over here, Notre Dame University. If you're gonna expect to see anything of the word taught on Notre Dame, you're gonna spend a lot of time looking. You're not gonna find it. Okay, we have no rules, we have no order, and we have no accountability. We don't hold anybody accountable for anything anymore. So it's just a free-for-all, okay? You go out and commit murder, it takes many years, you sit in jail waiting for the state to come up with a case, which is a sentence, by the way. If you're accused of something and you have to sit and wait for trial in front of your peers for a period of years, that's already a sentence, and you haven't been found guilty of anything. And I can't believe how many people just shirk that off when they hear about stuff like that. Like, I know one guy personally who's a Marine Corps veteran who was falsely accused of rape, and it cost him 4 years of his life. 4 years before he got that overturned. 2 years waiting for a trial. A bogus trial where the female and her mother lied, and then 2 years for him to put the evidence together and prove that they were liars. So he had 4 years of his life ruined by a false accusation of a teenage girl. Okay? That should never happen. And there's a couple ways, you know, people say, well, how are you going to stop it? Well, you stop it a couple ways. One, the Constitution guarantees speedy trial, okay? Our founding fathers had a saying that justice delayed is justice denied. You don't get justice if you're sitting in a damn jail for 2 years waiting for trial. That's not justice. Just because the government wants time to get their act together. If they don't have any more evidence than that, you should be let go. That's all there is to it. It's supposed to be speedy, okay? Here's another thing. Not only is it supposed to be speedy, but anybody that comes into that courtroom and lies, they are to be punished. Equivalent to what the defendant would have gotten. Not just the slap on the wrist, not just the judge yelling at them or whatever, or being found in contempt and spend one night in jail. No, 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 no. If you're a female, as in the case of my buddy, and you came into that courtroom, and your mother did too, and you took the witness stand, and you swore to tell the truth, or affirmed to tell the truth, and then you lied in a capital case, because rape is a capital crime, he should have been executed. When you're found out to have lied, you are to be taken outside and hung. Now, I will guarantee you there'll be far less false accusations when people know that the fact that they did that will get them hung when they're found out. Same thing goes for police officers that lie on the witness stand, military people that lie on the witness stand, judges that lie or obfuscate or hide evidence, lawyers who do the same thing, claiming that they're working for their client. No, no, no. You're supposed to be working for justice. The whole court system is to be for justice, not a platform for you to seek governor or some political office, not for you to get the best record of conviction, or even to get your client off. The job of the court is to bring justice. In fact, lawyers shouldn't even be allowed. They should be outlawed. The whole idea of being part of the bar and having a law degree and saying you have exclusive rights to represent people, that's all part of the British accreditation registry and the British way of looking at things, which is a joke. It's not our way. It's certainly not Christ's way. It's not the believer's way. Should be done away with. We don't need it. Okay? The court is set up for our communities to have the accuser and the accused have a formal setting where they can come in and present their case to a jury, present their evidence, present their testimony, and then 12 men of the community, upstanding men now, not just any 12 picked out of the dictionary or out of the phone book. That's ridiculous. Jurors, according to the original founders, the jurors were to be from the community, the same kind of men who would hold office, meaning men, upstanding men with good character, a knowledge of Scripture, and believe it or not, unlike what you're told today, a peer group for the jury is supposed to be people who do know you, not that don't know you. They are supposed to know both the accuser and the accused and be familiar with them. Because again, you're after justice. You're not trying to set the stage to where a couple smooth-talking lawyers can convince a jury of whatever they want. That's acting. That's not justice. So the jurors were supposed to be selected because of their knowledge of the law, their knowledge, and I'm not talking man's law here, I'm talking about God's law. The knowledge of the law, the knowledge of the community, and the knowledge of both the accuser and the accused, so that they can make a good judgment. Is that what we have today? No. But then again, do we have justice today? Answer, no. No, we don't. And that's why. Because we're not doing it by the book. What's the book? Yahweh's way. The Bible. The Scriptures. And common sense, if you think about it. Common sense and what works. Okay? So the same thing. Why do we need a free state? We need a free state because we've gone the wrong way. We've adopted this whole three branches of government thing, and that's sort of, there's a lot of different versions on how we got saddled with that thing. It's just like Parliament. I don't think it's good. Okay? Biblical monarchy is the way to go because it's the most practical form of government you could possibly have. And again, biblical monarchy is not dictatorship. A biblical monarch is an upstanding man who's agreed upon by the community to be the monarch for either a county, a state, or the union, and he is elected, okay? Much like Maduro. Maduro is not a dictator. I know the media wants you to think that because we're trying to go down and do regime change in Venezuela the same way we did in Libya and Iraq and many other countries. Okay, that's not our right. Maduro was elected not just once, but twice. And so was Chavez. Okay, they're national socialists. Now, what they don't want you to figure out is that national socialism, just as Germany did, works very well, as a matter of fact. If the United States and John Bolton and the rest of the warmongers, the neocon Jewish warmongers in Washington would stay the hell out of the way, they would solve their problems very easily. But the United States is trying to strong arm all the other countries to not support Maduro and the National Socialists, because what do they want? They want another nation of serfs, just like we've become. That's all you are. You're an industrial slave. In case you haven't figured it out, that's all you are, an industrial slave. Where does it say in the Bible that you're supposed to work 40 to 80 hours a week in order to support your family? Where does it say that? Where did the people for thousands of years ever work 40 to 80 hours a week in order to support their family? Nowhere. Nowhere. In fact, the Middle Ages, the men had so much free time, they could volunteer their work to build some of the greatest architectural buildings on earth, including Notre Dame. A lot of that's by volunteer labor. They didn't even get paid. Okay, but they want you to think that that's the norm. And now it's not only is the husband working 40 to 80 hours at a slave job, an industrial slave position, so he has no influence over the children, no influence over the wife, he's got no influence over the government because he's too damn busy. All he does is work. Well, now they've got mom and dad out of there. So now the children in the household are completely vulnerable to the whims of our kakistocracy serpents in Washington, D.C. and in the state capitals. In fact, the governor of New York just recently stated that your body belongs to the government. Do you know that? That piece of dog meat in New York who said it's okay to murder babies, okay, he's actually come out and said it. Now, he's a crypto Jew, so I'm not surprised that he would say something like that, but he actually made it public that the government has a right to force you to vaccinate or do any other thing it believes that you should do. If that's not Talmudism, what is it? Okay, that's right out of the brain of a Jew to think that the government, because, here, you got to understand something. They set it up this way because the Jews knew from day one their goal was to take over government. That's why they wanted the sheep to believe, including the church world, that government is the end of all arguments. Okay, everything emanates out of the state capital or the federal capital in Washington, D.C. That's what they wanted everybody to think because they knew the end game for them was to control Washington. And how do they do it? Well, they don't have enough numbers, so they buy the votes they need. What? Now you know why all the non-white immigrants are coming in and how many non-whites are being elected to office, because the Jews put the money behind them. They also use or control the media to make the public think that these non-white, non-Christian people are going to be good people in our government, and when the fact of the matter is they're not. Okay, they're not of us. Again, we've violated our Heavenly Father's laws where he said that your leaders were to be of your own kind. Okay. Never did we have a right to make somebody not of our kind have a position in our government. So we do need a free state, but will the people ever wake up? I don't know. There is a great awakening going on, but the problem of it is it enough and we'll be too late. So, like I said, John Mark has got some interesting things that he's putting on his YouTube channel, talking about peaceful separation. So is Max Egan, the Australian fellow. SGT Report lately has been talking about these sorts of things, and many, many others. Okay. So it's a time that's come, at least to be talked about, so that when things fall apart, we have some idea where we're going to go. Because things are going to fall apart, mostly because nature says it's going to fall apart, but also because the New World Order wants it to fall apart. Remember their motto? Out of chaos, order, or order out of chaos. Okay, they bring about the chaos so that you will scream for them to take over and control, which is exactly what's happening with Trump. So that should give you pause right there. Okay, people are so enamored with Trump because of the disgusting Hillary and the left that they're turning they've got blinders on, so that they're blinded to what Trump says and does. So he could very easily be a dictator, and most people would applaud it, which is a shame because that's not what we need. I'm looking for Dr. Henry Kissinger, Henry Hines, the Jew Bolshevik, crypto Jew Kissinger. In Evian, France in 1991, this is what he said. Now, think about, as I read this, think about what's going on in this world today. And again, this is one of the most despicable Jews ever to be in our government. And this was clear back in 1991. Today, America would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there were an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, which means made up, that threatened our very existence. What are the fear porn channels telling you every day? Global warming, climate change, aliens from space, tsunamis, earthquakes, Ebola, Zika. All this stuff is fake, phony, and man-made. Okay? Fake, phony, and man-made. So, whether it's real or promulgated, that threaten our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. Okay? And Jimmy, maybe you weren't there the night we interviewed John Mark on the show for hours, at least 2 hours. I would suggest going and listen to that interview to what we talked about. Well, that's fine. That's fine. The rest of us found a lot of what he had to say to be very interesting, and very, and propertarianism has a lot of good points. So okay. So again, we've got these different speakers coming onto these different channels talking about separation and the fact that it is a mental construct, this whole idea that a group of people called government, and they're just people, that somehow they have the right to tell us what to do, where to go, what to put in our body, what we can consume. That's all wrong, folks. That's all wrong. And I've said that for years. You know, people were applauding the drug laws, the new society of Lyndon Johnson and all this, okay? Okay? It's ridiculous, okay? So, I'm looking for my spot here. the whole idea, again, is the fact that Washington, D.C. and the state capitals are not even looking into doing anything that we've asked them to do. Just answering a question here. Hold on just a second. And when your government becomes unresponsive to your needs and wants and their duties, what choice do you have? Okay, what choice do you have? And one of the other things that I saw earlier today that they're pointing out very, very clearly is the fact that the people, and I can't remember who put this out, it's escaping me at the moment, but it's basically he showed a diagram explaining who we the people are, and it was a chart. It was a PDF that had all these little round circles that represented us. And what he did is he took the population of the people, and each little circle represented so many millions of people. And then he took the number of people that are in the uniforms, mainly the police and military, and then he took the number of people and it was even smaller, just a little tiny dot. So this little tiny dot is controlling all of these circles, huge number of circles. And even if you throw in the uniforms of the police and military, it is still hugely outnumbered by we the people. So this is all a mind game, is what I've said. It's a mind game that they have the power and legitimacy to tell us what to do, where to go, driver's license, the whole nine yards, the whole income tax things, the Federal Reserve. Again, it's a cacistocracy of misfits. And your condition, because you've sent everybody to public school, and that's the other thing that's happening right now, a lot of people are starting to admit the public school system is a complete failure, and everybody should be sending their children either to private schools or homeschool them. Okay, I'm personally familiar with how you homeschool, and it works very well. Okay. A lot of people say, well, it's too much work. I mean, if you haven't even looked into it, how do you know what it is? Okay, how do you know? There are many organizations. I'm trying to think of the one I used. I think it's, can't remember if it was Alpha. Started with an A, but it's a homeschooling organization that'll give you help. They have textbooks, they have teachers' manuals, charts, phonics charts. They have all sorts of support. And most of the states that I lived in when I traveled with the young children, they had a lot of help as well for homeschoolers. Now, of course, the beast system doesn't want anybody to do that because they want you conditioned. That's the whole purpose of the public school system. So you look into the homeschooling, and you will find that even today, there are still a lot of helps. And most people that are homeschooled, you are going to find that huge difference, okay? Even in my case, I had three children that were public schooled, and the second three children were homeschooled. So right within my own family, there was a basically a control study to show that, okay? The main thing that we have to understand is that this is a mental construct of the media and our overlords, or uberlords, if you will, who are trying to play this game on us and get us to behave ourselves and never to protest. And this is exactly why I think Christ said, when he was here upon his departure, will I find faith upon the earth when I return? Okay, why would he ask that, do you suppose? Okay, well, when you have faith, first of all, you're not afraid. Second of all, you know that death has already been conquered. Christ conquered death. You know where we go afterwards. Okay, you're not supposed to fear death. You're not supposed to fear anything, okay? Truth above all things. Doing the right thing, as Stonewall Jackson said, and then let the consequences take care of themselves. So that's why I believe the Father says, you know, I'm seriously doubting we're going to find much faith, really. There are going to be a lot of people playing Christian, playing church. Okay, you're going to see a lot of church buildings, empty, whitewashed sepulchers like Notre Dame. Okay, it's got a great name. Notre Dame is French for Our Lady. So Notre Dame catches fire, everybody's all aghast and everything else, but where was any truth in it? I mean, you could burn almost every single whitewashed sepulcher in America and you wouldn't affect the gospel one bit. Okay? Why? Because there's no truth in them. Okay? That's why they're called whitewashed sepulchers. Okay? And people of faith are willing to fight because they're passionate in their faith and their beliefs, and they dislike injustice, okay? And this world is in the travail it's in because the righteous have not stood up against the evil. It's really quite that simple. So you got to fight the good fight. The fight's coming to you whether you're ready for it or not. I hope you understand that. If you think you're going to sit this one out, I got news for you. It isn't going to happen. This is the big one. This is the final big one at the end of the age. Righteousness versus evil. Okay? Good versus evil. Good versus bad. Yahweh's way or Satan's way. It's just completely divided. And you have to choose which side you're going to be on, all right? Now, what I did like about the movie Braveheart, okay, there's some things in there, of course, I didn't like. First of all, Mel Gibson was far smaller in stature than the actual Braveheart. The real man, William Wallace, was, I think he's like 6'2 or 6'4. He was a big guy, especially in that day. And he wielded a two-handed sword because it took a big guy to handle that sword, a real one. But there are diaries and accounts of battles back in that day where these big knights and big soldiers that could handle that two-handed sword, there were times that they cleaved a man in half with them, lengthwise. Not through the middle, but from the top down. They could almost cleave a man in half. So, basically, the guys with the big swords like that were put at the front, and they were paid extra for doing it. It was hazardous duty. They were put at the front to chop the ends of the spears off, like the Greeks had in their phalanxes with the long spears and all that. Well, these guys would go out in the front, and those guys with the long spears, they would go up and chop the ends of those spears right off so that the soldiers behind them could get better access to the enemy. But anyway, I digress. That was the only thing about the show that was a little bit misgiving, because William Wallace was a big fellow, okay? But he has a thing in the movie where he says to the princess when she was trying to talk him into pleading for mercy and everything after he had been betrayed by another woman. In real life, that's how they caught him. He was betrayed by one of his many lovers. But he says to the princess, every man dies, but not every man lives. And boy, if that isn't the truth. You see, when you're in constant fear and you allow your fears to dictate what you say and do, you're not alive. That's what the Bible means. If you want to gain your life, you should lose your life. A lot of people today, in fact, I knew a guy with a seminary degree tried to tell me the proper thing for a Christian to do is to be a martyr. I said, you mean die? He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And he quoted that verse. I said, do you even know what that verse is talking about? I said, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that in order to gain your life, you should be willing to lose your life. Okay? And how many people are? They're not. Okay, they're busy trying to save their possessions. They're trying to acquiesce to the government because they don't want to be harassed or threatened or possibly jailed and all these other things. So they're in constant fear at all times. Fear of thieves, whether they're rogue thieves that walk the streets or they come in the name of the government. They're still thieves. Still thieves. And everybody's afraid, okay? So, again, Christ wants to know, will I find faith upon the earth? I don't think there's much out there, to tell you the truth. Now, I am happy to see, like, Coach Dave Dabenmeyer, and like I said, there's a lot of these other believers that are coming now out and being very outspoken about the impotency of the church world today. As I've said to some of my family members that still attend whitewashed sepulchers, I said, where's your pastor? Where's the pastor with all this criminality that's going on? Saying it's okay to murder babies now, the government owns your body? Where the hell is that coming from, folks? Could you picture somebody saying that to the founding fathers 250 years ago? The government has a right to tell you what to eat, what not to eat, what to put in your body, not put in your body. They have control of your health care. I know when that argument all started, I said, why are we arguing about whether Obamacare is the better one? The argument should be, why is the government even saying they have a right to do this? They don't. There's no constitutional mandate for them to be in control of education, drugs, health care, none of it. It's not their business. They had no right to do that. But you see, people with money figured out that they could make laws, and because we are basically law-abiding people, because somebody comes along and says, well, it's the law, our people in the old days anyway, would have challenged it. You know, did you have a right to make that law? Even the instructions to the jury are supposed to tell the jurors that the very first duty a juror has is to judge the law. Then you judge whether the defendant broke the law. But your first duty is to decide whether the government was justified making that law. Because if it's against the Bible or the Constitution, your duty as a juror is to vote no, not guilty. That's how many people beat the IRS. I've read the transcripts of their trials. Most of the time it was for that reason. There was one or two jurors that figured it out, and they said not guilty. And occasionally, all jurors voted not guilty. See, the burden of proof is always on the government because they got the time. These are paid professionals. Their whole workday is working for the government, so they have time and money. You don't. You and I don't. That's why the burden of proof is on them, not you and me. Just making an accusation doesn't make it so. Doesn't give them a right to do what they do. Everything's upside down. It would take many hours to sit here and just tell you everything in this society that's upside down. Parents don't parent. They let television do it. Let schools do it. They let their peers do it. They let their laptops do it. They let their tablets do it. They let their cell phones do it. They let their fellow peer teenagers do it. Everybody but the people that are supposed to be doing it. And we wonder why it's a mess. Discipline, folks. Or as I said at the beginning, accountability. Discipline and accountability. We don't have it. Okay? We don't have it. Okay, we're coming up on the 9 o'clock thing, and let me explain that a little bit to you. Again, this was requested because so many people are distraught over the situation in this earth. And it was presented to me that, you know, why don't we try to get a group of us to join in prayer at a specific time of day. Now, this is not worldwide, obviously, because some people are sound asleep in the rest of the world. So we picked it, 9 p.m. was suggested, and in your time zone, 9 p.m. So it doesn't have to be at the same time. And that would provide also 24 times a day that our Father will hear his children crying out. Sounds pretty good to me. Then the person that requested it said, well, some of our people don't pray that much, and could you come up with something to be an example, give an example? So I thought tonight for the 9 o'clock, if you would just go along with this prayer that I jotted down. It's a rough draft. We're not completely done with it yet. But again, this is just as an example. Okay, Father would much rather hear your own words in whatever prayer you want to pray. These are words that came to me, and I'm just sharing them to give you an idea. This is what we're trying to convey to our Heavenly Father at this time. We, His sons and daughters. Okay? So I've called this the Prayer of Repentance for 2019. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we beseech you to forgive our sins and disobedience. We repent of our turning our backs on you. We repent of making false gods out of institutions made of mere men and women. We repent of seeking knowledge rather than truth, while ignoring your commandments and statutes. We repent of being afraid due to our addiction to the image of the beast and its fear porn, which we now know are these images that are before us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, these images controlled by the beast system. We repent of giving our allegiance to bodies of men and false messiahs, claiming to be our deliverer. We repent of being lazy, willfully ignorant, and refusing to educate ourselves of the truth, no matter how much it hurts or how hard it is. We repent of not making the truth matter in all things. That's why I liked what Bill Hilter said about 2019 should be the year that truth matters. Continuing with our prayer here, forgive us our multitude of sins and errors. Purge us of our misgivings and seeking after the delicacies of Babylon rather than you. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Give us clear discernment. Give us courage to do what is right, no matter the cost, and no matter the ad hominem attacks of the adversaries against us. Let me stop for a second. For those who aren't familiar with that Latin phrase, ad hominem, it's attacking a person's character or motivations rather than a position or an argument. Continuing, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your coming be soon. May we soon realize that Adam was put here to tend the garden, which is this earth, and we have failed to do that. May we return to being the people of Yahweh who will bring truth, justice, peace, and righteousness to this world. We ask that you restore each of us individually and all of us as your family and kin to one another. We ask that you would bring about a total restoration of this earth to destroy the wicked and lift up the righteous. We ask that you cleanse this poor earth of all the damage done to her and bring the new heaven and the new earth spoken of in the scriptures. We ask all these things in the holy name of Yahweh, our King, our Judge, our Lawgiver, and our Savior. Reference Isaiah 33 and 22. So again, I have this in a document. If anybody writes to me at the address on the website, PastorDan.net, you've got a contact page there. Send me a request and I'll send you a Word version of this if you want to use it as an example. Again, it's not life and death critical that it's exactly at 9 o'clock. It's not life and death critical. We all say exactly the same thing. This prayer was just to give you an idea of what we're trying to accomplish, okay? I did send a copy to the individual who requested this for their take on it. So far, all the responses have been very, very positive. So, again, it's to get us off of center and give us the idea that we are in serious, serious trouble. And repentance should be number one thing that's on the minds of his sons and daughters. And again, what does repentance mean? It means to rethink. Okay? Rethink. So, with that being said, I've pretty much covered what I wanted to do tonight. There are a lot of things going on, and I want to remind everybody that because of the trouble with emailing and the censorship that's going on, I would ask that the listeners check PastorDan.net from time to time, especially my daily mail page. I update many of the other pages as well, but if you only check one thing, check that Daily Mail page, because that's where I put the latest news items and things that I think are relevant that you might want to see. I put them on there by date. And again, I don't expect people to go down and read the whole thing, but try to look at the ones that strike your interest, okay? If it's, whether it's politics, it's health, it's scripture, there's a lot of different things. It's not all political, okay? There's a lot of good stuff that people are trying to do, a lot of good things coming out about this 5G and the fact that it is dangerous. There was one lady that put one out, and she's advocating that people, that we are at that point where they're not listening to us, even though there's many nations that are not putting in 5G because of safety concerns. Israel itself, that little bastard nation over there full of those Bolsheviks, is not allowing 5G. That should tell you a lot. Trump is not allowing 5G to be put at his Florida estate. Okay, what does that tell you if this is such a great and wonderful thing? Okay, judge people by their fruits, okay? If they're telling you this is something that's great and wonderful, but then you look at it's a lie across the ocean, they're not going to let it be put in. Belgium is resisting it. There's schools in California that have refused it. There's fire stations and police stations that have refused it being near them. So people, you know, are protesting, but the media, of course, is not telling you about any of this. So this lady has put out there that maybe we've reached a point of civil disobedience, even to the point of clandestine efforts to make their equipment inoperative, if you know what I mean. So things are heating up. Again, why we thought about this prayer as we are... we're approaching a very seriously dangerous time in history, world history, not just the United States, because there's so much lying and disinformation out there, so much fear porn. And seriously, people need to get back with the Father and get right again. Really, you do, folks. For one thing, if you want to find peace and tranquility in this day and age with all of this garbage that's going on, what better way than to communicate with the living Father? I guess that's where really, that's where the rubber meets the road. People who claim to be believers, but really, are they? I mean, a lot of people carry Bibles, a lot of people profess Christianity, a lot of people say they go to church, but do they really believe? Because I've often wondered, how can you say you believe if you don't pray? How can you believe if you're not tuned in to listening to the Father? I mean, I would hate to go through this world listening to all the garbage over the computers and TVs, etc., if that was my only source of information. I would not sleep well at night. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit who witnesses truth. As it says in the New Testament, the Spirit, meaning Yahweh's Holy Spirit, testifies to the truth. So my question is, for the people that really, truly, honestly want the truth that's going on in this world, how are you going to know if you don't have that connection? What do you use to determine? The mainstream media? They're all liars. Government officials? They're all liars. The institutionalized church, yeah, they're liars too. Medicine? Institutionalized medicine? No, they're lying about a lot of stuff too. So, you know, where do you go? Really? It's pretty simple, isn't it? But anyway, I wanted to say, you know, we've got a few people in here. I see Henry's still with us and whatnot. If anybody's got something they want to add, now would be a good time to do it. If not, I'll probably just close with a short prayer and give you a break, since we've had some really long ones here lately. And there's so much stuff that people want to listen to. I'm not just going to ramble to ramble. So if somebody has something to report, let's do it right now. If not, I will go ahead and sign off here shortly. I'm just writing some notes down here. And then we're going to try to get some guests lined up here for some topics on equal but separate and peaceful separation for our people, because it can be done. Some people think it can't be done. Well, that's what they told Noah, if you remember. Okay, they laughed at Noah. They mocked Noah. They said, you can't do it. Noah was a man of righteousness and of faith, and he just said, well, you know, the Holy Spirit, Yahweh, has told me to do it. So I'm going to build it anyway, okay? You can sit there and keep laughing at me. But who was laughing as the rains started and the water came from beneath and filled the area where they were at until everybody was drowned except for Noah and his family? So I don't know what form Yahweh's going to build us an ark for these days. I don't know what form it's going to take. It may be even what we're doing right now, communicating with brothers and sisters through whatever platform is available, and that we edify one another with words of encouragement and lift each other up if we're close enough together, helping each other out. If Father ever lets us become a community, we'll do it as a community. But right now, we are a community. It's just that we're not all together. And when we work together, just as I did with this prayer, you know, there were four or five people who responded, gave me some good tips. Lane, of course, another technical writer, brother out there in Texas, had some really good suggestions. So I've reformatted it according to his suggestions. And it reminded me of, again, we work as a team, okay? And I was blessed in my later years in the industry I was in to see in the area of writing anyway, because I was a technical writer myself for over two decades, how a technical procedure comes together. A lot of people think you just sit down and you write it and that's it. Well, that's not it at all. It takes a lot of research. You have to become familiar with the equipment, the system it's going to go into. Then you have to sit down and figure out, well, what is this procedure going to accomplish? What do I need to do to set up for the test or the calibration or whatever? What do I have to do to get started? Who do I have to let know? How do I go ahead with the calibration? Where do I put all the data? How do I finish up the job? How do I make sure everything's put back the way it's going to be? And do I make sure that I tell the operations department that I'm through? So all that stuff has to be covered. And then as a writer, you just start writing. And step by step by step, you just start writing. And here's the trick of a good writer. A good writer isn't going to put a perfect procedure down the first time he tries. That's why we called it revision zero. Do you know how many revisions that procedure might go through before the finished product is ready to give to the people in the field? I've seen them go as high as 20, maybe even 30 revisions. Because of exactly what we did with this prayer. You give it to the people you trust, have the same heart you do, and let them look at it from a different point of view. And then don't let your ego get in the way. A good writer doesn't have an ego. He's willing to listen to anybody, from a technician to a janitor to a boss to another technical writer. Because we can't get it all by ourselves. That's why Father wants us to work as a team, to figure out what's going on in this world today, and something as simple as a one-page prayer. There's nothing wrong with being a team. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I could use some help. Can you help me out? Can you see where I may have made a mistake, or I could word it a little differently? You see what I'm saying? And in my profession, it worked beautifully. When you kept your ego out of the way, and you took people with their comments seriously, I found that many people were more than willing to sit down and express their opinions to you. And they understood that you're not going to incorporate every single thing they say, but just the fact that you gave it credence, that you gave them credit for their attempt, and that this product that was finished, you didn't take all the credit for it. You gave credit to all those that helped make it successful. Do you see how that works? Teamwork. Just like the teamwork right now to get through this end of the age scenario. Same thing. We do it as a team, or we're not going to make it at all. So lay the ego aside. As the scripture says, accept all things, keep that which is good, which works, which fits with empirical evidence, which fits with scriptural evidence, which fits with the Holy Spirit evidence, and fits with the team looking at it and saying that it's the way to go. We're going to have to learn how to be family again and team players again if we're going to survive. And don't be egotistical. Don't come off with this attitude that you know and nobody else knows. That's not going to cut it. First of all, Father's not going to accept it, and most of us won't accept it. So, with that said, dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this opportunity to be with our brothers and sisters and for this information to go out. We pray that you would keep these lines of communication open. We know that you will for as long as it's necessary. We pray for a leading of the Holy Spirit. Each of us is anxious and worried and frustrated because we know what's right, we know what should be done, but just can't seem to get it started. We'd pray that the hearts of men would be awakened and that valley of dead and dry bones would become flesh again, meaning spiritually active and aware and willing to take a stand against evil. We do know that the only reason evil prevails is when good men do nothing. And so we're praying that you would send out your spirit and prick the conscience of our men especially. Ladies too, but especially our men. They're the warriors. And we're in a fight for our existence right now. Many people don't know it, but we are. Satan and his kids, they know there's nothing left for them. They will take as many down with them as they can. So Father, again, we're your children. We're standing ready. You tell us what you want us to do. We'll fight this thing one day at a time, giving you the glory, and only you. We will give it to no other. We ask your forgiveness again for any stumbling that we might have and failures. But lift us up, bring us along, and as always, protect us from our enemies. We ask this in the name of Yahweh our Father. Hallelujah.